So when Bob announced that he wanted people to speak about turning points in their lives, I think I thought, and a lot of you may have thought, we're looking for those big, big times, you know, like a drug person who takes drugs quits taking drugs, or someone who is a thief quits being a thief, or stuff like that. But if we're raised in a Christian atmosphere, then we may not have any of those big things like that. We may only have a bunch of little ones. So I'm going to talk about the little ones, okay? These are the ones that just bring us back to the path towards God, towards a perfect relationship with God, all right? So here we go. Bumper cars. So some of you may not have ever read or ridden or seen a bumper car. Here's how they work. It's this car. You can see what it looks like, and it has bumpers all the way around it. And the idea is that you're supposed to go around the track. You know, that's what they want you to do, is go around the track. But what people do is they bump into each other. And sometimes they get off track and they bump into the side, and it pushes them back. And then they bump into the other side, it pushes them back. My experience is quite different. When I did it, I'd bump into something and start spinning. And I couldn't seem to get the spin to stop. And so the people who would work there would say, turn your steering wheel all the way, and it'll straighten you up. And so I'd turn it all the way, and I'd just keep spinning. They'd go, no, turn it the other way. So I'd turn it the other way, and I would just keep on spinning. So my experience with bumper cars are a little bit different. Now I want you to look at this. I keep pointing there, and it's over there. What we have here are some lines. I hope Mike can pick me up over here if I stand like this. This center line is what you're supposed to do on the bumper car. You're supposed to go down the center and be a good driver and all that stuff. These on the sides, these are the bumpers on the sides of the track. And so that's what keeps you from going off the track. Now, this is how most people's path looks. They start up, and then they stay in line for a while, and then they get off track, and they go over here, and this bumper nudges them back onto the track. And so they come back, and they go here for a while, and then they get off, and they bump again, and the bumper nudges them back. And so it's kind of basically like that, except every once in a while, they hit somebody, and they spin around. Get turned around backwards. But basically what they're doing is going back and forth from bumper to bumper. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to draw an analogy. Now, an analogy is a comparison used to illustrate a concept, an idea, or a situation. But I have to warn you, I just want to take an aside for a minute, that when preachers use analogies, very often it breaks down at some point, and instead of just letting it go, they keep on trying to make it fit into the analogy, and that's when lies start happening. So I'm just going to use it for a short time, and then it breaks down, I'll tell you. So let's look at these pictures again. The center line represents the perfect path to God, to a relationship to God. In other words, this is where you know His will and you do His will. And that's perfect, right in the center, right there. But unfortunately, that's very difficult to do. And as a matter of fact, there's only one human being who ever did that, and that was Jesus Christ. So we're trying to follow the path that Jesus Christ led, and we're talking about this is not to heaven, this is just to your relationship with God being close. And as close to perfect as you can get in knowing His will and doing His will. Okay, I got to see what I said and what I didn't. And then the Spirit is, these lines right here are the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to nudge us back onto the path when we get off it. And we all do. I mean, we for a while, we're just really close to what God wants us to do, and we're in His will, and then for a while we kind of get away from it. And then the Spirit's job is to nudge us back onto that path. And so our path looks kind of like this. You get on the God's will, you get where it's perfect for a little while, and then you get off track. You're distracted or tempted or something like that. And then it happens again, and it happens over and over again. Okay. Okay, but this is not about sin. I'm not talking about that kind of nudge. I'm not talking about where you get so far off the path that you actually choose to not do what God says, and then that's sin. And we're not talking about sin today. That's a whole nother sermon, okay? So what I'm going to talk about are the small nudges. I skipped a... No, I didn't. Okay. So... My first turning point, I'm gonna, since they're small turning points, I'm gonna share several of them with you instead of just one. The first time I was nudged by the Holy Spirit, I was about 9 years old. I already believed in Jesus at that point, but since my parents didn't go to church, I didn't know how to be a Christian. I got my information from TV. I loved those nun shows. You know, where the nuns were so spiritual and they would kneel and pray and they would be so peaceful and calming. And I wanted to have that kind of peace. I'd kneel and pray by my bed and pretend I was reading my Bible. I didn't have a Bible then, so the best I could do was pretend that I was reading a Bible. I'd do that every day, especially when my parents were fighting, which was pretty often. My prayers were simple and heartfelt. I would say, "Help me," or "I'm sorry," or "Please make them stop fighting." That's the only way I knew how to pray at the time. One day my parents were fighting and I was praying. I got this funny feeling all over my body and I had goosebumps on my arms. And I looked up from my prayer and I saw Jesus standing right in front of me. He put his arms around me and held me, and he told me that he loved me. I fell asleep in his arms. I felt comforted and safe, and I didn't feel as afraid as I had before. The next day, I got up the courage, since I wasn't as afraid, I got up the courage to ask my parents if I could go to church. My dad volunteered to take me and drop me off and then pick me up after class. So I started going to church by myself. The teacher of my class was very kind, and she found out I was going to church alone, so she kind of adopted me. She stayed after class to answer my numerous questions, and she made sure I got to my dad's car safely. The second week I went to class, she met me on the steps. She waved at my dad, letting him know that she was going to take care of me. She had brought a Bible with my name written in it, and that Bible became precious to me. When I got home, I began to read it. Since I had always read books from beginning to end, that's what I did with the Bible, too. I started at the beginning and read all the way through to the end. Over the next 2 weeks, I read the Bible cover to cover, and I fell in love with all the stories. This was the first time I was nudged by the Holy Spirit. The vision of Christ made me feel safe and gave me courage. And the Bible was the tool I needed to start building a relationship with God, to start understanding what that perfect path was and how I could get closer and closer to God. Another time I was nudged, my biggest problem, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but you know Satan has a lot of names. Y'all know that, just like God has a lot of names. And I rarely say Satan because I don't like glorifying his name, okay? But I'll say things like the enemy. This time I'm going to say the false accuser. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of God, and I believe that the false accuser is the spirit of Satan. But I really had a problem with the false accuser. He would constantly tell me, you're not worth anything. Sorry, I lost my place. You're not good enough. You don't do enough. You're a failure. And then from time to time, because my relationship with God was kind of weak, then I would start believing the lies. There was a particular time when I was believing the false accuser, And the prayer seemed empty. It's like I couldn't get close to God. It was during this time I had surgery on my hands to relieve carpal tunnel syndrome. And after the healing, there were scars on my wrist. And they're right here. Here's one of them right there. And then the other one is right there. There was a friend at the church we were going to named Philip. And Philip came to me one day. And he asked to see my scars, and I showed them to him, and he put a finger on each scar. And he said, "These scars show that you have already died with Christ and died to your sins. You don't have to die over and over again because it is done." And so I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but when God had the nails pounded into him, they weren't in the hands like we think. They were actually in this part of the wrist up here. And so what he was telling me is I didn't have to die over and over again. I had already died in becoming a Christian. I died with Christ. We died together. So that day the Holy Spirit nudged me by using a person to say to me what God wanted me to hear. And because of that nudge, I got back on track in my journey towards God's perfect will, the journey where I would know his will perfectly and would follow his will perfectly. As I look back on my life, I realized there were a lot of times when people spoke wise words to me, and I did not recognize it as the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And I'm sure if you think back on your life, you'll think of times when people spoke wise words to you, words that may even have changed your life, and you didn't even realize it was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. He can use anybody as a prophet anytime he needs to. And so he speaks through people and speaks the truth into your life. Sometimes art can be the thing that the Holy Spirit uses. This was another time when I was starting to believe the false accuser. That's my biggest thing. That's where I'm the weakest, is believing the lies that he says when he says, "I'm not good enough," or I'm too this or too that, or whatever it is he says. And my prayers seemed empty, and they seemed empty because I had wandered away from that path to the perfect, to perfectly following God. But I went to Mardell one day, and I found a painting. It's not exactly what you see on the screen, but it's very close. And the painting was a waterfall with a rainbow in the waterfall. And then as I was looking at it, I kept coming back to it. I'd go look at some other stuff, and then I'd come back to it. And then I'd go look some more, and I'd come back to it because it seemed to be speaking to me. So I decided to be still and listen. And what the Lord said to me was, "I will never demand your death as a consequence for sin or inadequacy. No kind of death, not physical death, not emotional death, not spiritual death. You now have life because I have poured my life into you in the waterfall. I placed a rainbow in that waterfall as a mark of this promise to you." So there was a common theme here, dying over and over again. Because every time I believed the false prophet, a piece of me, a piece of my emotions, a piece of my spirit would die. I would let it die. And so I was dying over and over again, trying to be more like Christ, when really I had already died and didn't need to die over and over again. So this nudge of the Holy Spirit got me back on track, on my path in the pursuit of God's perfect will for me. It can speak to you through music. Again, this was a time when my relationship was weak. You notice I go off track and the Holy Spirit nudges me back. And then I go off track and he nudges me back. And this was another time when I was a little off track. And I heard the song "I Can Only Imagine" for the first time. And I was fascinated by that song. The song spoke to me, especially the part that says, "Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still?" That's just, every time I sing that line, I just feel the Holy Spirit on me, and I'm in awe. "Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still?" I was meditating and singing that line over and over again when I realized I wasn't thinking, if I see you in heaven. I was thinking, when. And that was a shift for me. It was very helpful to me. The Holy Spirit nudged me back on the relationship with God. The reason that nudged me back is because before that, I had been thinking, oh, I might go to heaven, I might not. You know, what if I sin? What if I step off? I could be doomed for life, you know. But this showed me that that wasn't true. Another time I had a turning point was with Scripture. And if you don't read but the Bible, you are cutting off one of God's most powerful ways of speaking to us. There are so many wise words in the Scripture, in the whole thing, beginning to end, that if you read, you will almost always find something that applies to you personally. So if you're not reading your Bible, get busy and start doing that. You don't have to read a lot at a time. I usually read until I find something that speaks to me, and then I meditate on that, on those particular words. And so the Scripture that spoke to me was Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." So the idea that God takes great delight in me just threw away all the lies of the devil, of the false accuser. I mean, I wasn't a bad person. I didn't have bad self-esteem. I was a child of God, and he delighted in me. And that's something that you need to know, too. God delights in you as well. And so I got nudged back again. So the Holy Spirit nudges in different ways depending on the person and the situation. You might have a sudden thought, just pops into your head. You don't know where it came from, but it seems to be what you need right at that point. It might be just a quiet voice. You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear this very quiet voice, and the quiet voice gives you something special that you need at that particular moment. Might be another person. We talked about that. When you hear things that people say to you, if you hear one and you go, that's good, I needed that, then hurry up and write it down. Write it down so that you can read it during your meditation time and really soak it in and see what the Lord has to say for you. It could be through an experience or a situation. I remember one time I was on a roller coaster, and I got to thinking, well, that's what my life is. That's what I seem to be with God, as I keep going up and down, up and down. And so the experience kind of spoke to me. It could be the written word, and we've already talked about that. And I can't emphasize it enough. If you're not reading your Bible, you're taking away God's most powerful way of speaking to you. It could be art, could be music. It could be the sounds or sights of nature. There's so many ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, that God can speak to you through these things. So whenever I preach or do communion or anything like that, I like to end with something you can take away and use, that you can grasp onto and hang on to it and use it through the week. So here's the takeaway. How can I improve my relationship with God? And so that's at this point what you may be thinking. I want to do that. How can I do that? How can I hear and use those nudges that the Holy Spirit gives me to get back on the track of the perfect will of God? So what you need to do is experience each of the following things with all your being, with your heart, your spirit, your mind. Experience it with all your being. Prayer. You need to be praying. I think it's wonderful that so many people pray in the car on the way to work. But I don't think this is the fully, completely focused kind of prayer that you need to be doing if you want to be really heading towards Christ or heading towards God, trying to stay in his perfect will. So I think you need to find a time, make an appointment with God, and sit down and do some totally focused prayer where you're not thinking of anything else. Same thing with reading God's Word. A lot of people listen to the Bible on their way to work, and that's good. But you need a time when you read the scripture yourself or listen to it, and then you find a piece of it and you meditate on that. I think I already said all that. Music. Find a song that means something to you. Meditate on the words. Sing it over and over again as you really listen to what it's saying and what it means. Art. You may come across pictures or artworks or sculptures or something like that in your everyday life, and it speaks to you. And so that's something you need to meditate on when you get the chance. And then words from other people, and we talked about that. So you need to experience all of that. Another way you can improve your relationship with God is to be still and listen. And that's hard. That's one of the hardest parts, because our minds are so busy and there's so many things that we think about all the time. And it's not just things like what we're going to do, but just random thoughts that just come through there and interfere with your quiet time with God. So be still and listen. Listen for that still small voice. Just be really still and listen. You don't have to clear your mind. What you need to be doing is concentrating on something like the Word or something like that, and then spend a few minutes just listening, okay? Experiences. Anytime you experience something and you feel like God is talking to you through that experience, write it down, and then next time you have a chance to sit, be still and listen, meditate on that experience and ask God, what have you got for me there? And then the most important thing you can do to improve your relationship with God is praise, okay? So many times, I know I've said this in a communion, so I hope you've forgotten it, or maybe not, which is a good thing. But praise is so important. Now, praise and thanksgiving aren't the same thing, and a lot of people don't realize that. And you may disagree with me, and that's okay. But praise and thanksgiving are two different attitudes, two different states of mind. And the wording for praise and for thanksgiving is very similar. And so it might be easy to say, well, this is praise just like thanksgiving is praise. In thanksgiving, you say, thank you for this and thank you for that. And you show your appreciation for God. Praise, there's three different things that I can tell you that are praise. One is, tell God how wonderful He is. You can say, you are holy. You are God Almighty. You are the comforter, the healer. You are the provider. And then if you want to thank Him for those things, then you can also thank Him. You can say, Lord God, you are holy. You are God Almighty. You're the comforter, the healer, and the provider, and I thank you for that. But see, then you shift it into both different ways of thinking. So you have the praise and you have the thanksgiving. I'm behind on my slides. All right, another way to praise is to tell Him how wonderful His creation is. And so you could say, you created the earth and the skies. And if you do this enough, if you praise enough, you're going to get this feeling of awe in your heart and your spirit. You gave us the animals and you gave us the fish. You gave us the sun and the moon. All these things are ways to praise. And then again, you can add thanksgiving to that. You gave us the sun and the moon, and oh Lord, I thank you for that. See, it's two different ways of thinking, in my opinion. All right? Tell God how wonderful His provision is. So you can say, you gave us food and shelter. It's so awesome that you gave this to us, and we thank you. So there's the thanksgiving and the praise. You gave us the people in our lives. And then you can thank Him for it, but really spend time praising God. Don't try to thank Him for everything as you praise, but really focus on praising God. So what you're going to do this week, and hopefully going forward from that, is you're going to try your best to get into that perfect will of God. In other words, you're going to do what you can to know His will. That's the listening and the reading the Bible and praising Him helps you to be able to hear that voice where you know His will and do His will. So I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is there to nudge you back on the path to God's perfect will. Thank you.